I would like us to think about the theme of faithfulness. If you have your Bibles, will you turn to Psalm 12? David was certainly an illustration of a king, a person who was faithful to God. But he was concerned about something. In the first verse of this psalm, he prays to the Lord. Help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth, for the faithful fail from among the children of men. Now there is a plea on his part that God exercise some sustaining grace and help to his people. But there is a very clear admission that faithfulness is a diminishing aspect of this world. I can think back to days when it was a normal thing for citizens, government officials, and so on, to be faithful to the task that they had at all costs. It was taken as a sacred trust. And I have seen businessmen lose money seriously on a business deal that they accepted and went through because they had given their word that they would. And it turned out to be financially a reverse, but they did it anyway. In more recent years, I have seen the opposite, where a business firm will back out of a deal that is not financially profitable, even though they had promised solemnly they would do it. David says, the godly man ceaseth, the faithful fail from among the children of men. Way back then, 3,000 years ago, he saw it. It's a characteristic of sinful mankind. They fail in their faithfulness to God. Now that is something that grips our hearts because as believers, we don't want to be in that category. We want to be faithful servants of the Lord. And that's why David is writing this psalm. He prays that the Lord may make the difference, that the Lord may cause us to be faithful, cause us to have that kind of character that will finish the job, will accomplish the work, whether it's profitable or not. If it's promised, it should be done, especially if it's promised to the Lord. Now, this is a theme that shows up again and again in Scripture. In Psalm 31 and verse 23, David says, O love the Lord, all ye his saints, for the Lord preserveth the faithful and plentifully rewardeth the proud doer. Boy, here's a difference now. The Lord is one who preserves the faithful. Again, someone who accomplishes his work and it looks like he's lost by doing it. It looks like he is going to come out on the short end of the stick and so on. You needn't have to worry about that because the Lord has given his word. He's going to preserve the faithful. On the other hand, the individual who decides he's going to take it into his own hands and violate his word and come out ahead financially anyway. Plentifully rewardeth the proud doer. Oh boy. Now when the Lord decides that the person has gone too far and he just starts subtracting things from what he is getting, that can be a catastrophe indeed. And all of that is in the Lord's hands. He is not surprised by any of the deeds of mankind, for good or for ill, and he is not limited in his ability to uphold the righteous and reward the faithful, and to allow the wicked to find out what a short end of the stick looks like. It's all in his hand. In Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 6, Solomon, meditating on the affairs of mankind, says, Proverbs 20, verse 6, most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find? Now, once again, he has looked deep into the human heart, and he has seen things that trouble him. Solomon was wise. He understood human nature extremely well. What he says here, we all recognize as a truism. Most men will proclaim everyone is goodness. They all tout their own virtues. They all plug their own goodness. But he adds, a faithful man who can find. He was having trouble finding him. Not much has changed over the past thousands of years. If you're looking for a faithful man, where do you find him? Every day in the newspaper, we hear about political officials, governors, presidents, all kinds of people who had loud professions of what they could do and would do, but threw it all away, threw their reputations away, ruined their entire work. Friends, faithfulness is a very important element in Christian character. When you have promised the Lord something, you have given him a solemn word. Now you need to remember that word and accomplish that in your life. It's not something that you glibly promise something, oh, I'm going to do this and that and so on. You just never quite get around to it. The Lord knows what's going on. And once we have pledged to him that we're going to accomplish something for him, then there's a weight of responsibility that comes with that pledge. We have told the Lord we're going to do this. Now, what are we going to do about it? For the Christian, there's only one answer. I'll do it. Now you say, well, sometimes there are some real difficulties, you know. Life can be hard. The Lord knows all about that. And he's good at supplying grace. When things look difficult, that's not the time to panic and throw everything away. It's time to turn to the Lord and ask him for the grace to accomplish exactly what he wishes. And he wishes faithfulness. These verses tell us that. He wants us to be faithful to our confession, faithful to our allegiance to the Lord, faithful in our service. And yes, he can accomplish all that. We must trust him for it and draw upon the faithfulness of the Lord. You realize that in the Lord's 33 years of his ministry, he was never unfaithful one time. He was faithful to every person, every promise, every work that he set out to do. He did it to the honor and glory of his Father. And yes, some of those deeds were staggering. To think of the death upon the cross, that's enough to make anyone quail in anguish. But he did not. He went to the cross because he had promised his Father. This was the redemption of mankind. This would mean salvation for multiplied millions of people. And he went to the cross, never flinched. He did exactly what he told his Father he was going to do. He accomplished the salvation of every believer. That's faithfulness at a staggering cost. But he did it because he loved us. If we make move to the New Testament, in Luke chapter 12, dropping down to verse 42, the Lord said, "Who then is that faithful and wise steward whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household to give them their portion of meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Of a truth, I say unto you, that he will make him ruler over all that he hath. But an if, that servant say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to beat the men servants and maidens, to eat and drink and be drunken. The Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him, at an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him in sunder, and will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. And that servant which knew his Lord's will, and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But he that knew not, and did commit things worthy of stripes, shall be beaten with few. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more. Now here's a solemn passage that tells us something very serious about service for the Lord. There are all kinds of people that are in the ministry. I have known a good many preachers that, in my way of thinking, were odd. Many of them had great gifts, gifts of oratory, gifts of sparkling personality. But they had something there that troubled me. They didn't do what they said they would do. They weren't faithful to the calling that they had. And sure enough, over the years, I have seen that catch up with them again and again. And the Lord would see to it that that particular flaw in them was pointed out, and everyone discovered it. That's a sad thing, especially for someone in the ministry of all places, to be committed to serving the Lord of the universe and to have a private agenda that's more important than that. Friends, there is nothing more important than serving the Lord of all. If we are in a service for him, then that takes first place. Everything else is in second place. The Lord never commands us to be happy or profitable or whatever and serve him. He commands us to be faithful. And let the chips fall where they may. Now let's face it, for most preachers on the face of the earth, they're underpaid, they're overworked, they have a terrific amount of emotional pressure upon them. It's difficult. But there is grace. Underneath are the everlasting arms. No servant of the Lord ever serves alone. Always the Lord's presence is with him. And so for all of us, we must be keenly conscious of this, that when God summons us to serve, he always supplies the grace, the strength, the wisdom necessary to serve. And we must depend upon him, not on our own abilities, not on our own skills. They may be humble indeed, but his grace is infinite. And we must draw upon that to accomplish the service of God. Faithfulness is the most important single element in the service of God. Paul touches upon that in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 2. He says, "It is required in a stewards that a man be found faithful." Required is the word. There's a lot of things that God doesn't require. God doesn't require preachers to have eloquence. I've heard some preachers that weren't eloquent. They kind of stumbled along in their messages, but they preached the word. And the word is powerful no matter how it's delivered. Sometimes delivery can call attention to itself rather than to the message. But the message has the power to touch hearts and change lives. The Spirit of God can do that. It's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. If the man is not faithful, he's disqualified from the service of God. It's just that simple. Now, that's sad that there are preachers in churches all over the countryside who are not faithful to their calling. They're preaching a liberal gospel. They're talking about a works salvation. They're preaching something other than the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And none of it counts for anything. God is looking the other way. When you preach the gospel, when you present the truth of his word, now the Spirit of God is taking what is there and applying it to hearts and accomplishing his eternal purpose. And that's not because of your eloquence, because of his power, his ability to move upon the hearts of people. And for every one of us, we must remember, every time that we talk to someone about the Lord, it is not our eloquence that counts. It's not our beautiful choice of language. It's his word and the power of his Spirit, that transforming grace that he supplies. That's what's important. And that's available to all of us. You don't have to be eloquent to be a soul winner. You have to be faithful. And you have to know the word, because God uses his word to accomplish his purpose. In Colossians chapter 3, dropping down to the end of the chapter, he says in verse 21, "Therefore let no man glory in men, for all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours, and ye are Christ's, and Christ is God's." There's no place for boasting, no place for glorying in the Christian ministry. If there's any good thing that comes about through our ministry, it's all of God. He did it. It was his word that accomplished that. No grounds at all for self-satisfaction, because everything depends upon God. So, in chapter 4, "Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God." All right, now here is a wholesome way of looking at the ministry. The ministry is not a place where show-offs strut their stuff. It's not a place where eloquent people get idolized because of the beauty and skill of their use of language. And some preachers do that. But no, everything depends upon God. It is his word that we're preaching. It is his Spirit that is taking the word and applying it to hearts. It is his word that's changing hearts and lives and transforming people into the servants of the Lord. And that's not the powers of any preacher. It's the grace of God working by the Spirit of God in the hearts of those who hear. It is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Without that, there is no possibility of being a servant of the Lord. You belong in the other camp. You're a servant of the devil. The twain are never going to meet. In Colossians chapter 3, dropping down to verse 22, "Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, as to the Lord, and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ." Now here is the justification for the Christian ministry. These servants, these bondmen who are serving God, have to obey everything that their master says. But they are pleasing God above all things. They have singleness of heart, not a divided interest. They're not serving themselves and God. It's all of God. And they know from the Lord's promises in Scripture that they will receive the reward of the inheritance. What's that? Well, the inheritance is much more than just eternal existence. It is eternal life. It is blessing in the presence of God. But the wicked are going to live forever too, but not the way they want to. It's eternal desolation. For the righteous, it's eternal joy, eternal pleasure in the presence of God, eternal service that will never grow dull. Now, we have to realize how vast his promises are. Astronomy has done one good thing to mankind. It has opened up to mankind the thought of the universe. The universe is now known as an awfully big place. It used to be small. They couldn't comprehend things much beyond our solar system. Originally, they thought all the galaxies out there were inside our solar system. The telescopes changed all that. They're outside. The bigger telescopes have enlarged it vastly more. Now they're going on billions of light years out there. There's more, and there's more, and there's more. Where is the edge of the universe? They haven't found it anywhere, in any direction. There's more and more and more out there. Why? Because God is eternal. His plans are going on forever. He is never going to stop doing what he's doing. He's going to see to it that there are multiplied races throughout the universe, all redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, all because of the possibility of salvation in Christ. And what the devil is doing to stop it here is failing miserably. He's going to fail everywhere else too. What is God going to do with this universe? He's going to make it a place where his people can praise his name from one end of heaven to the other. You say, that's going to take a long time. Yes, it's going to take ages. That's the way he works. This universe is not young, it's very old. It's going to be a great deal older, filled with the people redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, filled with people who are saved because of the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ and the gospel message which goes forth forever. When will Christian work come to an end? It will never end. God is going to see to it that there's always more. There's always new worlds, always new possibilities of spreading the truth of his love for people. And as far as the universe reaches, people can go and plant new works, and worlds can be saved by the blood of the Lord. It was a universal salvation that was provided on the cross. It will work everywhere. Friends, his purpose for us is staggering. The size of the universe tells us that. His love is infinite, and he brings us to himself that he may transform us into servants of the Lord who will serve not just for a few years here. This is a training ground. This is a school. When we get another place, we're going to find out why we had to be trained here. And the work is going to go on forever. We're going to serve him for endless ages. Never a dull moment. Never the lack of a job. Always things to do to please him. Always a message of the grace of God and the triumph of the Lord Jesus Christ over all the powers of darkness. He is the Lord of light, and his people are going to be the light, not just of the world, but of the universe. The gospel is going to conquer everywhere. He is going to triumph from one end of the universe to the other. And it's going on and on. It is never going to end. He is Lord of all. And we have the privilege of being faithful to the Lord of the universe. Friends, let's take that seriously. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Forgive us, Lord, that we get restive over our trials and troubles. Forgive us that we lose sight of the infinite plan that thou art accomplishing. And by thy grace, Lord, help us to be on track. Make us better soul winners. Make us better witnesses for thee. Help us to accomplish thy purpose. Give us the grace to be faithful servants, humbly serving thee every way we can. By thy grace, keep using us, Lord, not just here but forever, to thy glory and to the praise of our blessed Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Give us the grace we need to accomplish thy purpose, to serve thee above all things, and to forget ourselves. Give us this grace for his sake. Amen.